From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad on a glorious sunny day. Oh, blimey, I'm a bit loud, aren't I? Sorry, guys. My name's Eric Wiltshire. We're at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. Birds tweeting in the background. Young ladies playing outside, and there's a wasp got in the studio. So if I run away, it's not because my name's Jeremy Clarkson. It's because I'm running away. Because it's a wasp, and I don't like wasps. Anyway, hi to Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Absinthe Radio, and Breeze Radio, RTI, and everybody else that knows me. On the zit of the nose of Europe, as always, it is none other than Lee Banks.
How do you do, everybody? It's me, sitting here. Isn't it amazing that the birds are tweeting? I didn't even know they'd got phones. And Eric's being waspish. Now, that's a surprise. I've seen him in a basket.
Yeah, right, okay.
Do you wish my door had stopped rattling on my studio, on my soundproof studio? Can you hear it?
I can. It's you making all the horrible noises.
It's not me, it's my... Ooh.
What?
Sorry, carry on.
Carry on, are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll just get the rest of the world to shut up and sit down and have a cup of tea while we're waiting for you.
That'll do. That's fine. What it is, ladies and gentlemen, having a studio, a purpose-built studio in the centre of my nuclear bunker of a house, it's like Piccadilly Circus. Everybody keeps walking in and out.
We'll put a red light outside.
No, then all my neighbours will come round and try to sorry-diddle me.
Apologies for no Rachel. She was around this morning.
She was.
But maybe she's gone to sleep or something.
Oh,
she's
not in the biblical sense, in the sort of Snow White sense.
Yes, in the Snow White sense, in that we do know that she's had an horrible week.
She has. She's had to go by bus.
Yeah.
That's what common people do, isn't it?
Well, no, actually, it reminds me of a funny story. My former colleague on the radio, rather like you...
Yes.
He walked off the top deck of a bus one day and went and sat downstairs.
Yeah.
Because I was on this big red bus in the middle of London, and it's because I was not driving that day, and he was going to drive me back home.
Did you used to drive a bus?
No. So I got on a bus. And I hadn't been on a bus for years, and I haven't been on a bus since then, I don't think. That was years ago. And I'm sitting there, I was like, look, I'm on the top of a big red bus driving through the middle of London. And I'm phoning people, like, here, I'm on a bus. And he said, you sound like the bloke who's got a tin of Spam that's going to be a bomb. And I went, what? He said, you sound like the nutter that sits on the bus pretending that a tin of Spam's a bomb. And I'm you're having a laugh. He said, I'm going downstairs. I can't cope anymore. And he did. He left me on my own upstairs, all these people laughing.
Oh, that's terrible. When you get there, well, that's it. Bus travel is bad for you, because the last time I was on a bus, I was a similar experience. It just is. You know, it's an old phrase, isn't it? That you are the person that always gets the nutter to come and sit by you. Well, what I realised on the last bus journey that I went on, that everybody on the bus was a nutter apart from me.
Yes, I agree.
It's a bizarre place. It's like cattle on a truck, innit?
If you like,
yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Should we get on with the show, do you think?
Have you pressed the record button?
I have.
Oh, I didn't realise. Sorry, guess, carry on.
We are live across the planet, and you're wittering on like an old woman. Anyway, sad news to start off with. The man behind the Beagle Mars 2 mission, Colin Pillinger, has died at the age of 70, which is a young age for a man like that. He was actually the driving force of the so-called UK space sort of attempts. What space mission? And the sad thing is really that only a few days ago, the government in the UK said that they were going to pump millions into actually getting a proper space network going in the UK. And poor old Colin won't see that, but never mind. He was the guy that really inspired so many people to get into space exploration, along with, of course, the legendary Arthur C. Clarke. It was just another amazing character of that kind of foresight and, you know, just seeing everything. Poor old Colin died of a brain hemorrhage at his home in Cambridge. So he's probably sitting up there now looking down at us and going, come on, where's your satellites, boys?
Yeah, that's it. I've made it to heaven. You lot could at least make it to Mars.
Exactly. I'd rather have a Twix.
It was sad. A Twix. Twix. Why a Twix? You could have had a Mars bar. Oh, I get it now.
Oh, God.
A joke.
Oh, you're sitting down today, obviously, aren't you?
It's not that funny, ladies and gentlemen.
It is, boys and girls. Anyway, we move on. The author Leslie Thomas has died.
He has. Now, that's a tragedy, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, well, Leslie Thomas is the man who wrote the very, very famous war story that I'm desperately trying to find the name of. Virgin Soldiers, the Virgin
Soldiers. Oh, right, that one.
Yeah, he wrote that, and it became... He was an old journalist who just was pottering around, doing quite well. I think he was working on regional newspapers.
Yeah.
And he wrote this very, very funny story about being at war. And from then on, he carried on and he wrote 30 more novels, which is a lot of things, you know.
People ask
me why I've never had a novel published. And the reason is dead simple.
He can't write one.
No, exactly. He went and wrote 30.
Blimey.
And did his memoirs.
Oh, right.
And he just had a good time. He lived out in Newport in South Wales, which is a place I know quite well.
Uh-huh.
And he imbibed a little. He had a good time. He used to smoke heavily. And he was just a good raconteur, the sort of bloke you'd like to go for a beer with. And he was also quite a good writer in a comedic sense.
That was well put. Anyway, good old age, 83. It's not bad. So it's a year to go for you then.
I'm 18 months, I think.
Oh, is it? Oh, sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to sort of cut your life off too quickly.
I will die young and leave a good body, unlike other people on this show.
You a good body, that's a contradiction in terms. Anyway, we move along, so there's been quite a furore about this story running in the UK, that 100 IRA terrorists were told by police they would not be arrested, and even got letters from the government, and now all of a sudden, one of the Sinn Féin leaders has been arrested and got his collar felt, which just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it's Gerry Adams, isn't it?
Yes.
Gerry Adams always, it's the murder, I've forgotten the woman's name, but it's the murder of a mother who was dragged out of the house in Dublin in the 70s, or the 80s, and murdered in front of her children, basically.
Yeah.
Gerry Adams has always said that he had nothing to do with it. He's been held now, he's still denying it, and he says it's a political move to destroy his chances in the election. However...
But I don't get that, because I wouldn't have thought it would have done.
Well, it's that doubt, isn't it? He's now been faced with the charge. He denies it. The charges, have not been made or anything. But it puts doubt, or it confirms a doubt that everybody's had, that Gerry Adams may well have been involved in some quite nefarious activities during his days of wildness in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. But Lee, I don't understand why... This is not a new concept, you see. I think the Northern Ireland peace treaty nicked this from South Africa or somewhere else. Because if you remember Nelson... So Nelson Mandela came out, then everything all came together with the ANC in South Africa. And then... Bishop Desmond Tutu was the guy that chaired this...
The man in the short dress.
That's the one. He chaired this kind of committee where everybody sort of kissed and made up.
Yeah.
And everybody was let off for all the atrocities that took place in the past.
Yeah.
So isn't this kind of the same thing?
Like, I agree with you. I think it is the same thing. Well, I think you've got to go back to the tumultuous effect Tony Blair's had on the peacekeeping of this world as our peace envoy.
Mm-hmm.
He negotiated this peace with people like Gerry Adams or the later parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been left in absolute chaos. And the letters that have gone out to 300 people... Oh, sorry, 200... I don't know how many people. They sent 100 letters out to terror suspects believed to have been involved potentially in 300 murders.
Mm.
And on the back of Tony Blair's peacekeeping process in Northern Ireland, which doesn't work because people keep getting killed and there's a war on over there again.
No, no, that's the exaggeration of the century, that is, because there isn't a war going on.
Why?
There's a few idiotic people that won't accept the fact that the ballot box is stronger than the gun. Because they can't live with that. But, you know, it's the same as years ago. Again, South Africa story, yeah? I was watching South African television, as you do, because I like watching the news from all different parts of the world.
You're quite Algeciras. I watch that.
Yeah. So I was watching the South African news, and they depicted Northern Ireland a few years ago as if it was like World War III when it wasn't.
It was. I was out there. I worked out there.
But it's not like it now, is it?
No, it isn't. No, of course it isn't. Of course it isn't.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, all right. My statement about there being a war in Northern Ireland at the moment might have been a bit tabloid and a bit insane.
A bit tabloid? Flipping heck.
But there is still elements of terrorism over there.
Yes.
Nothing, it's not really, it's not that Northern Ireland's become this land where everybody goes, hee de hiddly hoy de hee de hee. It's not this little dreamland of leprechauns and...
No, of course not. No, I agree.
It's this war-torn region where the effects of war are still felt now. And crime is high. It's a deprived country. Remember, this is a place where we had the potato famine. For a lot of people,
I know.
That kind of horrible aspect of life hasn't changed in Northern Ireland. And what I'm saying is that the British government covertly sent out 100 to 100 terror suspects letters saying, you're all right, lads. You can get away with this now.
Now, that's the bit I don't agree with, because the covert way that was done was wrong.
Yeah.
That's wrong. Yeah. But at the end of the day, on the other side of the fence, if it is that produced peace, which in the main it has, then surely that's a good thing.
I don't think it has, though. I don't think that's the change thing. And the thing with Gerry Adams is very simple. At this stage, unless somebody knows more than I do, nobody really knows for sure whether Gerry Adams received one of these letters.
No, they won't. And nobody will ever find out either.
Exactly. Mm. But if these letters are going out to other suspects and Gerry Adams hasn't faced any great investigation over this 30-year-old murder, why now is he facing it? Why at this moment when the elections are going ahead, why now when all the others are being told, it's all right, lads, here's a letter saying you got away with that one?
I think, you know what? Too much publicity, we'll walk away from it. There's a deal being set up in the UK to combat piracy, allegedly rumoured, with alerts, and it's imminent, chaps, if you are downloading stuff.
Can I just interrupt for a second?
You can.
This is really interesting, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls.
Whoa.
Eric said the word piracy, and neither him nor me went, wah, wah, ah, Jim lad.
Was that a joke?
No, it was a fact. I was pointing out a fact. Well, that we've grown up since I keep looking at the piracy story.
Oh, right. I keep getting distracted because a wasp got in my studio.
I know he's got a wasp up his
thing. No, I haven't, but it's crawling up the blinds and I can't reach it to murder it.
Don't murder it. Just pull its legs off.
How are you going to... It'll sting me, and if it stings me, I'll blow up like a balloon.
Well, that'll make no difference. Nobody will notice.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, there's a deal to combat piracy in the UK coming up. And apparently, this has been going on for donkey's years, actually. This wrangling about...
you don't want to get downloading donkeys.
No, this is true. The deal between the record producers and the copyright holders and the UK internet services. And apparently, BT, Sky, TalkTalk and Virgin Media are going to send, get this, educational letters to people they think have been doing downloads illegally to make sure they understand.
So what they're going to send us, is that like being Gerry Adams and all the other people in Northern Ireland?
No.
Like, if you do something naughty, you get a letter off the police telling you, you're all right, lads, don't worry about it, just don't do it again.
Sort of. But I think the idea is that... they are suggesting that lots of people don't realise what's right and wrong on the internet. And we'll give you a good example. People think that when you watch something on YouTube, it's illegal. Well, it's not.
I've always thought that.
No. You know, in actual fact, artists get paid.
From YouTube?
Yes.
How do they do that, then?
Well, because every time you play the music, they know that Lee Banks singing Twist and Shout is being played, so they pay you 0.00 whatever it is cents, and you get the commission check. Royalties check.
Explain something quite amazing to me.
Why?
Well, as people know, his Royal Bobness is a great part of my life.
Again. No.
Yeah, no, listen, no. This is not the facts.
You sound like Jeremy Clarkson and I sound like Hamster.
What, do you?
Because I'm going, oh no! Oh no!
And I'm trying to be heard. All I was going to say is that on YouTube, you used to be able to find the odd Bob Dylan video.
Right. Yes.
Of live concerts and stuff like that. And there was this, I remember doing a story on it at one time, there was this major battle by his people to get all this concert footage off YouTube.
Right.
Now, if you go on and search Bob Dylan, there's just millions of them. And that's because he's getting paid for it, the old rascal.
Yeah, of course he is. In actual fact, if you put a piece of... That wasp is flying again! If you put a piece of music on your video that you make... Such is the technology, it comes up and says, did you know you've got this bit of music? Are you making profit from it? Blah, 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 blah. and then it pays the artiste.
Amazing. So what's the piracy bit then?
Well, the piracy bit is, and we'll use one of probably the better known sites like Pirate Bay.
Which, right, I remember them.
Right, Pirate Bay was banned in the UK. You can't access it from the UK. Yeah. And 5 minutes later, everybody's found out a way to do it. Because that's what happened. Now, the trouble with all this piracy and internet laws and the like is it tends to stick things more underground than they are now, because most technology people will know how to get round it. And the fact is that gone are the days where... artists made lots of money from selling records because you can go to YouTube, you can go to Pandora, you can go to all these other sites and listen. And nowadays, if you think of YouTube like a radio station, the radio station pays the artist the rights to play the music, and in turn they put adverts out to compensate for that, unless you're a state broadcaster, in exactly the same way as YouTube does.
YouTube. So it's actually a benefit to the artist.
Correctamundo. But what
I can remember arguing for years in the opposite direction.
Well, that's because you're a journalist. but the point is, there are still places on the interweb where you can go and download whole albums from people and yada, yada, yada. And they actually want to, you know, cut that out. And what they're going to do is say to people, look, and I'm only surmising it because they've used the word educational letters. They're going to just... inform people which is the right things to do and which is the wrong things to do. You know, downloading a whole film for free when it's just gone out into the cinema is probably not legal, chaps.
I think that is incredible. I can see the sense in it, but it just shocks and hurts me that on the one hand we can tell exactly the same story about the murder of 300 people and them getting a letter saying, don't do it again, lads.
Well, I don't think they can.
Internet piracy.
Well, I will say to so many music companies, if you didn't charge so much money, people would probably want to own it themselves rather than finding a way around it. And the fact is that people today do want good value for money. And if you don't supply the value for money with the need to buy... They'll always, and it's not new. This piracy thing has been going on for years. I remember from the 1980s, somebody knocking on my office door, this little chap with a suitcase. Well, can I come in, please? Yeah, what do you want? I've got some cassettes to sell. And when you actually looked at them, they were all pirates.
Well, that's it. It's like... His Royal Bobness is the most bootlegged artist ever.
Mm.
And bootlegs, you used to take incredible pride in managing to find and own a bootleg of your favourite artist. But that's taken all... See, all these things take the historic glamour out of things that we do. And you, bootlegs were interesting. Downloads are not.
No, they're not. Exactly. Anyway, we move on to something which I kind of think... Boys and girls, I kind of think is a little bit of a headline grabber. Because all of a sudden, do you remember the lady that didn't, that did, that didn't, that did, that didn't? Monica Lewinsky.
A few times.
Yeah, Monica Lewinsky, anyway. We all know the...
that one, are we?
Yes. We all know the story about Mr. Clinton and Miss Lewinsky, which didn't really do anything, but did, but didn't. Now this story's come back to light. And the theories, one of the conspiracy theorists has come up with this idea, which I think is lovely, that the reason it's come back to light now is just to highlight the Clintons so that Hillary Clinton... can stand for president next time.
I think that's a very, very good point of view on this, yes.
I do. I really do. I can't see what the purpose is of it. I don't think she really wants to do it. That wasp is coming near me again. Go away.
No, is it... Like, listen, what? Is it like, rotund?
What, the wasp?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Miss Lewinsky for a minute.
No, she's rotund in all the right places.
Oh, is she? Oh. I don't know where it's gone. Now I've stopped and spoken to you. Oh, no, there it is. I see it again. It flew away again. It's a big one.
Has it got like, big black stripes around it?
Yes.
It's not a wasp. It's a burglar.
Oh. Ah, yeah. No, it's looking at me now. I swear it's looking at me.
In India.
It's flying. Oh, no.
It's flying now.
No, don't buzz me, for goodness sake. I'll have to run.
Have you got a gun?
No.
Have you got a bat, a cricket bat?
No.
What have you got?
Nothing.
Eat it then. Eat it.
No, it hurt my tummy.
No, it won't sting. No, it won't sting, because of what they do when they do that. They put the little wings over the heads and tuck the stingy bit up like a dog tucks its tail.
And then
they get eaten by acid.
So what we're saying really is we don't care about President Clinton, Mrs. Clinton, and Monica Lewinsky at all.
Do we?
Right. Okay. Millions of us apparently are eating halal food and don't know it.
This is a strange story, and it's an inflammatory story with the state of Britain's attitude towards foreigners at the moment. We are this shameful country, but this is an inflammatory story.
I've lost this now.
What have you lost?
Well, why is it inflammatory?
Well, there's two aspects to it. One is, actually, there is no reason not to eat halal food and beef.
You ask somebody who's an animal lover that, and they probably disagree with you.
Well, that was what I was going to say. Apart from the way it's actually slaughtered. Now, the way it's slaughtered is a bad thing. That's the way it's done in halal, in Muslim countries.
Right.
So you can't condemn people for doing it in that way. We kill animals, and it's not a particularly good thing. They slit the throats. We shoot them through the head with a bolt. I don't see that we're kinder to animals than they are. But the simple fact is, and this is why it's an inflammatory story, because we have so many myopics. Stupid people in Britain who have been driven to becoming racists by the likes of Nicolas Farage say that this is disgusting. And in its own way, it is disgusting, because why are we not being told that we are eating food that's been slaughtered in that way?
I don't know.
That's the nub of the question, which this ridiculous article doesn't answer.
But the thing is, historically, we did the same thing anyway.
In what way?
Well, years ago, how did we dispatch animals?
Oh, yeah, but by post office.
No. How did we dispatch animals years ago? Exactly the same way as halal.
Absolutely, that's the point. And I do not... I've worked... I actually, for my sins, I actually worked in an abattoir. I'm going back a long time.
Yeah.
But it was horrendous. It was horrendous. It was funny places. There's some funny things happened there, but it was horrendous the way these animals were hung up and allowed to drain blood out of them and everything. There is no difference. The thing that we're all up in arms about is the fact, and I'm not up in arms about it, but the general hoi polloi of Britain are up in arms about it because they're being forced to eat Muslim food without being told about it.
It's not Muslim food.
Eh?
It's not Muslim food.
Well, it is really.
No, it's not. It just happens to be. It happens to be halal food.
Yes, which is mainly done for Muslims.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it Muslim because you quite rightly said it's kind of like mainly done for, but it isn't an absolute carte blanche fact that only Muslim people eat it. That's nuts.
Yeah, but that's not nuts, it's meat. But you can't, that's like saying that fish and chips are not English.
Are they not?
Well, they are.
Are they?
They're invented.
No.
Well, they sell them all over the world. So you can't say fish and chips are English anymore now. That's another bizarre thing to me.
No, I just think, I'm with you on this one. I think people take it too far, but I do think that other people's views should be respected. And I think if you don't want halal meat because you have some views on the way we dispatch animals, then you have the right to know which is which.
And as a Muslim or anybody else, like you've just said, who wants to partake in halal food, that's fine. You should have the right to do it, and you have got the right to do it. But what's gone, and this is what's annoying the British public, is that their right to know that they are not eating halal food has apparently been taken away from them by Tesco, Sainsbury's, Morrison's, Waitrose and M&S.
Is this PC going bananas?
I don't think they've done it to bananas yet, because you don't have to slit a banana. Stop it!
But isn't this just political correctness gone mad?
I'm not sure. Why? You see, it's, again, a lot of people take newspapers and journalists to task for what they see as a story being inflammatory and being blown out of all proportion. The real question in this story is nothing to do with different races, different types of food and different ways of slaughtering animals. It's down to the fact that why did these major companies, which are the things that feed this country and the rest of the world, actually, but why did they covertly change to using halal meat?
We will never find out, boys and girls, because it's the end of part one. We'll see you in part two. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I-O.